No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And welcome into the Rusty Satellite Show. This is our 39th weekly show on the Louisville.am network. This is where you'll hear from the most interesting people in the Ville. And it seems like I always say this, but every week it amazes me how great this town is. I can always seem to find some really good guests for the show. And very happy this week. You'll hear later on from Steve Weiser, a local architect, historian, author, very interesting guy, as well as Tim Coons McGee. And if you don't know that name, he is the operator, one of the entrepreneurs, operators of the Comfy Cow. So let's think ice cream. We will be doing some ice cream on the show. So anyway, that's coming up in just a minute. First, I wanted to say that I'm recording this on Wednesday night, and I'm just back from the library, which had a great program tonight. I went to see one of my humor heroes, Dave Barry, the author. He's got a new book out called You Can Date When You're 40, and he came and talked for about 45 minutes up at the public library downtown. And it's always great when you hear somebody. I've got a long history of following Dave Barry from his columns in the Miami Herald. And, my favorite thing about Dave Barry, though, is his book. His first novel was called Big Trouble, and has a special meaning to me because, it's silly. It's about bizarre characters in South Florida where Barry lives, and it came out in 1999, and there was a movie made with Tim Allen and Rene Russo. And one of the very first times you saw Zooey Deschanel in a movie. And Big Trouble it's probably not that good of a movie, but I sort of got to. It came out at an age when my son Josh was at an age where he was very impressionable, and he really liked it. And we liked the sophomoric humor, I guess, in the book and the film. And for all you parents out here, I'm not out to give parenting advice, but if you can share a literary experience or just share a book with your children, if you're lucky enough to find one that they will read, that you also read, that you like, boy, that's a great experience as a parent. So I always put a lot of emphasis on that in my life as a dad. And Barry's new book is a collection of essays. It's not really, the whole thing is not about parenting, but parts of it are. And there's a really interesting passage, I understand, about the book 50 Shades of Grey, which Barry has a good time making fun of. He summarizes the plot in a very succinct way. And haven't read it yet, but I've read some things about it, and very much looking forward to that. So anyway, what a great town. Dave Barry comes to town, one of my literary heroes. I just saw this week that coming in May, Lyle Lovett, one of my musical heroes, is coming to town. Unfortunately, I know that I'm going to be out of town when he's here, but he's coming to one of my favorite places, the Iroquois Amphitheater. So if I were you and you want to see a great show by a talented musician, I'd get your tickets now for Lyle Lovett at the Iroquois Amphitheater. So anyway, let's move on to this week's show, and I was really excited about my guest this week. our second guest, and I'm going to just ask you to be patient and stay tuned here. Tim Coons McGee is the he and his husband, they're a gay couple, Roy Coons McGee, started from scratch the Comfy Cow, and he shares with me some of his plans for the future of that business, some of his and his ideas about some of the legislation that's going on in Kentucky about same-sex marriage. I think it's a really interesting interview from both a business point of view and from the point of view of how someone who's really living it deals with the laws about same-sex marriage. Plus, Tim gave me a just really great ice cream cone. It was bourbon ball ice cream. I recommend it highly, but there's a lot of really great flavors over there. Comfy Cow's expanding and all that. But enough about that. My first, please stay tuned for that interview. It's really good. First, though, we're going to have Steve Weiser, who's a local architect, a historian, very interesting guy. His office is down there in Nulu, in the 800 block, and Steve is just he's really an amazing guy. I got to know him when I was a regular blogger. He knows more about not just architecture, but the architecture of the city, the history of some of the buildings. He's written some 10 books about different aspects of Louisville history, but he's also looks forward, and I think that's the important thing you might learn from listening to this interview is about what Steve envisions for the future of our city. And where it might go, he has some opinions. And you might catch Steve if you look him up. He gives talks around town about different aspects of Louisville history. So it's really fortunate to have known Steve several years, and was fortunate to get down to his office in Nulu. And here's our interview.
Learn about the movers and shakers in the Louisville business scene with Startup, Conversations with Louisville Entrepreneurs. A new episode every Tuesday at louisville.am.
And I'm in Nulu today with Steve Weiser. I guess we're going to call you an architect, right, Steve?
Yeah, I go by art. Well, just don't call me late for dinner, is it what I usually
Nobody calls
say.
You Bud, do they?
No.
You never heard that before.
My kids were nicknamed Bud and Bud Light, but no, I've never had that happen before. But no, I'm architect, historian, author, gadfly, whatever. But yeah, I've been involved in both architectural and civic circles for the last 30-plus years, and almost any major activity or urban planning discussion that's gone on around town over those years, I've been involved in some manner. So okay. Have yeah, a lot of history
was,
on me.
When I was like blogging every day, you were always a great source of information about projects going on around town. And listen, we're here on a Tuesday. What is today? Tuesday. And yeah, you tell me there's some news in town today.
Yeah, well, I just got news. One of the properties that I've helped save a few years ago called the Auerbacher House. It's down at 17th and Jefferson. Well, that's now a done deal. It is going to be renovated and restored. It is going to be residential units. And so that's something that's been going on about 5 or 6 years. Sometimes preservation doesn't happen as fast as you like it to be, but it's a beautiful historic house, very similar to the Conrad Caldwell House. In fact, it's a sister house to that, designed by these same architects, Clark and Loomis. But anyways, it's 17th and Jefferson. It's going to help revitalize that portion of West
Part Louisville. Part of Portland, the Portland project we've talked about in the past like what Gil Holland's doing.
Well,
right?
Gil Holland, it's a bit south of what Gil is doing, but same sort of movement. Momentum continues there. So, yeah, the Auerbacher House is happening. That's very positive. Plus, a couple of other things I'd like to mention is I've written a number of books, as you may know, over 10. I've lost count, but one of them was called Louisville 2035, and that was my vision of the city in the year 2035. From the year 2010, so if you had 25 years to that, Louisville 2035. And of course, the mayor is currently doing this Visioning Louisville, which is of a similar nature. But one of the things that I would like to propose on that, and I've mentioned it to the mayor, but on your show here, I'll mention it even more, is to develop what I call the City Hall North Block around Market and 6th Street and build a new governmental center there and move the executive offices out of the courthouse over to this new City Hall area. Also build a new police station there as well. The current police station is over 60 years old and needs a new one. But anyways, and also move the fiscal court functions out to there. Then take the old Jefferson County Courthouse and turn that into what I call the Abraham Lincoln / Zachary Teller Presidential Museum, as well as Heritage and Orientation Center. So you take this historic building that was started construction in the 1830s and completed in 1860, turn it into this Abraham Lincoln, Zachary Teller Presidential Museum, which we were connected very well to those folks. And there is no Zachary Teller Presidential Museum right now. And, of course, Springfield has the official Lincoln Museum, but we have a good claim to fame to him as well.
Right.
So that would be a great visitor draw. And also, we can do a Thomas Jefferson wing to that as well because of our connection to Thomas Jefferson. So that would be, to me, a very good heritage tourism thing, plus benefit governmental functions.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's almost a futuristic thing. I mean, it's amazing you're a historian, but you also look to the future.
An architect try and figure this out. And I think it would be a great benefit in both the local government as well as to the tourism and economic development. What we have going
on. Is there support for this?
Well,
this
project, in fact, we just did a salute to Louisville history this past Sunday with over 100 people in attendance, and that was the number one thing people were talking about. We really need a local history museum here. How can we get this done? And perhaps we have a number of history or museums on West Main Street with the Fraser Museum and all. But I think if you tie it in with a presidential history as well as a visitor orientation center, I think that would help
make
it viable.
Well, it's very interesting. Now, I know that I see your stuff on Facebook, et cetera, about your talks around town, and it must be, sorry, I haven't been to one yet, but you touch on some, like I know I've all looked at a book about all these great houses in Louisville, right?
Correct.
Just give me an idea of what some of those things
are I do a number of civic talks. I have over 20 civic talks that I talk to Rotary groups, senior citizen groups, other civic groups. I'm talking to the J-Town Historical Society here coming up next week. Tomorrow I'm talking to the United Crescent Hill Ministries group on historic theaters in Louisville. So one of my more popular talks right now, Historic Houses of Louisville. I did that book last year, and so I've talked to Locust Grove on that, the Filson Historical Society. I'm kind of known for knowing the history of the houses. I've also done books on modern houses of Louisville and distinctive houses of Louisville.
Right. So, now, some of those I remember, and maybe you could just talk about. Well, I mean, these historic houses, they have modern families living in them, right? And it's interesting, I guess, to get to know the owners of these places.
Oh, most definitely, yes. I've been able to go into houses that I've never thought would have been allowed to be welcomed within. And so that's a great thing. And a lot of these people say, well, how'd you get my name? And there's various ways on the internet, as you may know, finding out who lives where. But yeah, I send them a letter. I say, hey, I'd like to feature your book or your house in my book. And for the most part, there's very few that have turned me down. John Snyder out in Anchorage did not want me to profile his book.
But
it's been in some magazines already if you're interested. The photographs are on the internet if you'd like to know what it looks like. But anyways, but for the most part, I do contribute all my proceeds to charity. The Distinctive Houses book went to the Visually Impaired Preschool Services. The Historic Houses book is going back to the Historic Houses. And so basically they're for fun and to contribute to a good cause.
Right. Where can people find these books?
Primarily Carmichael's. I sell them to local bookstores or gift shops. I don't sell them through the national brands because these are Louisville books and they should be benefiting Louisville businesses. A Reader's Corner on Frankfort Avenue has them. Both Carmichael's locations downtown at the Museum of Arts and Crafts gift shop. So there are about 10 locations. Conrad Caldwell House and a few others.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're here at in Nulu at JRA Architects.
JRA Architects
and
Work.
And it's part of this resurgence in Nulu. And I know you at least had something to do with or great to see it happening here.
Help advocacy. Of course, Gil Holland is the mayor of Nulu.
But you, in addition to what's going on here, you seem to be involved in projects that involve preservation, right? And I just wonder where you come down. If someone asks you, like, say, on Whiskey Roll Offs, or which side are you on? Do you think
every property should be preserved or not.
You touched on a great topic here that's always a debate within the preservation community. Do we save it just because it's old, or do we save it because it has some relevance or some historical value? And the way I come down to it, I'm an architect. I like to build new as well. Mm-hmm. And so if you do take down a historic structure or one that has some sort of nice design to it, let's replace a landmark with a landmark. That is my key. Let's don't lessen the value of this community by building something. If you take down a nice quality designed building, let's don't replace it with a generic, bland-looking structure that doesn't add to the value of this community. And unfortunately...
Well, what about surface parking lots? Aren't they great for the community?
No, I am definitely not. I think we have more than a surface parking lot, and we have great public transportation in this community as well. So I do think we need to... I would like to see if we have to build parking, let's build it multi-story with on the first floor some sort of retail function or a function on the first floor. Like we have several good examples in downtown for that. So, no, I'm not in favor of surface parking at all. Yeah.
Well, I didn't think you would be.
That lessens the value of this community.
Well, what do you think? Let's talk about the big project that's coming to downtown. I'm just interested in your opinion on the Omni Hotel. And what is that in keeping with where we need to be as a city?
Yeah, we need to be adding, of course, hotel, any sort of viable function there. Was not in favor of any big surface parking lot there currently. Of course, there are several historic structures on that property. When they were proposing the arena for that location a number of years ago, I was saying, can we relocate some of those historic properties, consolidate them on the Muhammad Ali side, make sort of a nice retail structure there, just move the buildings, which could be done, and then build the remainder of the development. So this is going to be something I'm sure the preservation community is going to be watching. The Odd Fellows Hall, which is also on that property, is a very nice historic structure, so I'd like to see that saved if at all possible. So let's see what happens. But yeah, it is a viable. It does add to the revitalization of downtown. I am in favor of it. So.
Yeah, in fact, I think the thing here in Nulu, what I hear most complaint about, it's either the lack of residential space, or it's lack of retail like groceries, and we really don't have that in Nulu.
No, but again, that new development is going to have that. And for what it's worth, on the Marriott Hotel, which was built a few years ago, we had a big debate with them about saving what's called the Coleman Building, which is there at 3rd and Jefferson. And the Marriott people said, no, we can't save it. We convinced them that they could save it, which they did do. And if you go on their website, you'll see that is their feature photograph on their hotel is of the Coleman Building.
Okay.
And so I think if they can save the Coleman Building, they can save some of these other properties on that old water company site.
All right, Steve. Well, very interesting. Always talk to you. Maybe like I know a couple years ago we ran into each other on the golf course. So
yes,
it's almost time, isn't it?
That is correct. Just another month, we'll be teeing off again. So fantastic.
All right. Well, great to have you on the Rusty Satellite Show, and I'll be talking with you soon.
You love Louisville. You want Louisville when and where you want it? There's something new every day at Louisville.am.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
All right. Thank you to Steve Weiser for spending a few minutes with me down at in Nulu. And yeah, we did run into each other on the golf course one time and played. And boy, it's got to come soon, golf season. Very much looking forward to that. It's the first week of spring. And now it's time for the Rusty Satellite Top 5, news items or items of interest that have come across my plate and things that I want to talk about. So the first one, actually, we had a big week for media this week. The first story is about our Senator Mitch McConnell. And if you're not paying attention, here's what happened. McConnell was having an event for the press the other day, and Leo Weekly news editor Joe Sonka, like he would knew on any other news item, went to see the thing. But apparently McConnell's staff and McConnell's campaign has something against Leo and against Sonka. And they actually, you know, to make a long story short, threatened to call the police if Sonka did not leave. They just... This is just a really biased treatment from a guy who proclaims as a politician to be a backer of the First Amendment, a big supporter of that. But, you know, and the thing about this story is that what McConnell is doing, he is just trying to keep a reporter who he knows is going to ask questions that he doesn't want to answer from being able to ask those questions. And credit to Sonka for pursuing it. And, you know, it's just shameful, I think, from the McConnell campaign to refuse a legitimate news reporter the opportunity to attend a press event and ask questions. And now the story has many layers, as you might guess, but Sonka was appeared on MSNBC, the cable network, to talk about this incident that happened at a local hotel. And, you know, McConnell's not talking about it, but his campaign manager, a guy named Jesse Benton, you know, comes across as real, you know, I don't know, choose your word, doofus, ill-informed, frightened. I don't know what you could say about this guy, except that, you know, I would say from my perspective, he's probably not doing his job. From McConnell's perspective, maybe he's protecting him, and that's exactly what McConnell wants him to do, look like an idiot to reporters. But the thing is, McConnell's got to understand he should, and I'm giving advice to McConnell, but it's really important, I think, to treat reporters equally. I mean, all the other reporters, some that weren't necessarily friendly to McConnell, the Courier Journal was there. There were National Magazine reporters there. But the McConnell campaign singled out one reporter, Sonka, and did not allow him to attend this press conference or ask questions. So I'd certainly suggest you, if you're interested in the story, hadn't heard about it yet, Google Mitch McConnell, Joe Sonka, and Sonka wrote a piece in Leo this week on their blog about it, about the incident. So really, well, you know where my politics are. You know, I'm not a big fan of McConnell's, but this just you know, sort of seals it with him and his you know, his just way of dealing with the public and the press is horrible. Now, my second media story involves the University of Louisville. I read a big story in the Courier Journal on Sunday, and the second or third paragraph was a quote from former Rusty Satellite guest. In fact, the first Rusty Satellite guest, Mark Hebert, my best friend, and it was about some University of Louisville employees who had been given early retirement packages, and three of these employees in particular got excessive package, and it turned out the story was about how that the university gave them twice as much money as some of the other early retirees because they had knowledge of sensitive things, and it really was portrayed as hush money. And the quote that sort of led the newspaper story by Andy Wolfson, the Courier, wrote the story was, quote, "We had to give them something." So I called up Mark and I said, "You didn't really say that, did you?" And Mark said, "Well, I said a lot more than that." The quote was sort of taken out of context. It didn't really convey what I was trying to communicate. But, you know, I can understand from the reporter's point of view, you know, there's a meaty quote that's going to get a lot of attention. This story is going to probably irritate a lot of people. And, you know, and it does, and it should. It irritates me that our public university has to not only give early retirement packages to employees to get them off their payroll, but those that have certain types of knowledge get more money in exchange for signing away their rights to talk about it or make money on that. Now, as irritating as this is, it's a common practice and Mark told me in businesses and you hear all the time about people getting getting a lot of money to leave jobs. Now, my experience in the business world is that if a business has too many people doing something, that they lay them off or they fire them or they say, well, the business is not here. We have to cut our budget. We're going to let some people go. That sort of world doesn't work in the university environment because what they have to do, they have to give people a lot of money to get them to leave. And etc. But that's my little peeve. But the point is, in our business world, in a university, this is not an uncommon thing. It's uncommon to see, the salaries of two of the vice presidents that received a full year salary as part of their early retirement package. It was something like $250,000. It's an attention getting story, and it's a reality of our world that in a university environment, a lot of different types of environments, people get paid a lot of money to leave. And, we always say, boy, I want to have one of those jobs that they'll pay me to leave. The last time I saw you, if you remember, University of Louisville football coach Ron Cooper got a big package, and a lot of people in athletics, coaches, I never understand why that universities, when they want to get rid of a coach, they have to pay them so much money to go. It's a reality of the real world. We're going to have to accept that if you're in certain types of positions and you leave, you can collect some money for your silence. And anybody that's been even in relatively low paying jobs, there are always, I've had this myself in a job that I left, you sign a document in order to get your 2 week severance pay that says you won't disparage the company or whatever. So the story's getting a lot of attention, both regionally, nationally, but it's unfortunately a reality in our world today. So that's my second story. And I've got one more sort of brief media story. You probably didn't see this one in the news, but the Courier-Journal and the Herald-Leader both were part of a lawsuit against the state, and the state lost, of course, because the lawsuit was about the cabinet for, I think it's Health and Family Services, was withholding information, violating the Freedom of Information Act with papers related to the number of children killed or hurt badly from child abuse. Now, this has been going on for 5 years, but the case was kind of finally settled this week. And, I guess what I would say is I'm glad that the judge, the courts came down on the side of the media in this case, and that, it's going to cost the state a bunch of money to pay the attorneys for the Courier-Journal and the Herald-Leader because the cabinet refused to reply with the state's open records law. The open records law, if you don't know, you as a citizen can go and there's a whole world of records you can find out and you can request and government agencies have to comply. If you want to know, what emails Mayor Fisher's been sending to a certain person, you can go file an open records request and get those. So when a government agency doesn't comply, a lawsuit follows. And usually, fortunately for our system of government, usually agencies that withhold public records from the media or from citizens usually lose those lawsuits. So that's what happened. This week, it's been a really busy week. Started this week, I went to another play out at Actors Theater. I'll tell you about it real quickly. It's called Brownsville, the story of it's B-side for Trey. I think it's focuses on what I perceive to be a poor African American neighborhood where a young man is unfortunately gunned down. And the play focuses on the effects of the people around this young man who is murdered in his neighborhood. And it's really a brilliant play. If you remember, we had Les Waters on last week, the Actors Theater artistic director. Certainly, if you get a chance to go out there, I would have a hard time, just like Les did last week, telling you which of the plays in the Humana Festival to go see. I loved Partners. I loved The Christians. I loved Brownsville. So, I guess whatever issue interests you most would be the one you choose to go see. But Brownsville really is a modern tale set in, dealing with hard realities of the deaths of a murder of a African-American in his neighborhood. So I would highly recommend you go see that. And my last story I'm going to talk about, let's get all happy and stuff, because it is, the madness is here. It's March Madness. If you're listening to this, maybe you're like listening to this between games or something. On Thursday, the NCAA tournament really begins in earnest, 64-team field, and you've got your brackets filled out and all that. I tell you, I've been listening to a lot of talk radio the last 2 days. I don't know how those people fill their time. You know, I can ramble on it on here on the Rusty Satellite Show for what seems like a long time, but those guys go for hours and hours discussing the merits of what the selection committee decided and all that. You know, it comes down to it. Teams have to win in the tournament to advance. And I did like to see the President Obama, you know, every year he does a bracket, and he has Louisville actually losing in the final game to Michigan State. I don't think too many fans around here would be too upset if we made it to the final game and lost after it would be our Louisville's third consecutive Final Four appearance. And it's amazing. A lot of people talking about Louisville getting a four seed and how what a travesty that was by the selection committee. Well, you know, it gives them the proof's in the pudding that they can. A lot of people around the country are picking Louisville as a team to make the Final Four and to go all the way, including our President Obama. But of course, the always highly anticipated matchup in around here will occur next Thursday or Friday. If it happens, the collision course between Louisville and Kentucky would happen next Thursday or Friday. So that would be a big thing for this area and basketball. So good luck even to the Cats, but mostly to the Cards, and hope you can duck out of work and watch some basketball this weekend. All right. So anyway, those are my five stories for the week. And the Rusty Satellite Show has a very interesting guest coming up next. It's Tim Coons McGee. He is a partner in the Comfy Cow, which, as you'll hear in this interview, is growing by leaps and bounds. You know, the original store was out in Westport Village, and they have and they took over the old Jenny's down there on Frankfort Avenue and made it just a fantastic store. And that's where the corporate offices are for the Comfy Cow, and that's where I interviewed Tim, who is just a fascinating guy, and we just had a lot to talk about. I really like the whole idea of his. It's a fun business. Imagine two guys in their, I think they're both in their 50s. Forgive me if I'm wrong. Stopping their careers, cutting their careers short in other places, and just starting up a new business. And it's an ice cream shop, and I think it could go down as one of the really amazing success stories of a business in Louisville, of a Louisville-based business that could really go nationally. It's already starting to franchise, and they have big plans. Tim and Roy have big plans. I was fortunate enough to hang out at the Comfy Cow on Frankfort Avenue for a little while with Tim, and here's our interview. All right, and I'm here in this wonderful building on Frankfort Avenue with Tim Coons McGee. What do you call it? It's the Comfy Cow, right? And welcome to the show, Tim.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being here.
And this building, I know, I used to go to Jenny's and did all that, you know, the thing. It seems like the concoctions here will also help you gain weight if you want, right?
They will. Yeah, it's a pretty infamous site, really. When we first talked about taking over this site, that we had a lot of comments from people that have all kinds of Jenny's experience.
Yeah, there were a lot of them. Yeah, it's a legendary thing in this town. So, yeah. It's amazing. A lot of people never thought it would be, you know, it's the big pink thing up front, and it's very attractive. I think helped a good addition to the landscape. So, along those lines, the big news in town is your decision to have a high profile location in the Highlands at Eastern Parkway and Barstown Road. Tell me a little bit about how that came about and what is going to be new and different about that place.
Well, we've been looking for a place on Barstown Road or the Highlands forever. I mean, from when we first started. And they're really, you know, places, good places don't become available that readily and that often. And especially one with patio. Mm-hmm. So we were constantly looking, but just nothing came up. And then I just happens I'm good friends with Mike Mays, who owns Hunting Brothers, and we were actually driving to Florida for vacation around Thanksgiving, and the phone rang, and it was Mike, and started to go into this story about how they were going to consolidate, and before he could get the sentence out, I said, "We'll take it." I mean, it just honestly, it fell into our laps, and you know, thank God, Mike. You know, called us first. He, right. he certainly didn't want another competitor of his to go in there, but he immediately thought of us and another local business. And gosh, we were thrilled. I mean, it's a primo location for us.
Yeah, yeah. Now, is it going to be different from your other stores in any way? And when, of course, importantly, when is it going to open?
Well, we're trying really hard to get open before Derby weekend. We'd like to be open that week before okay. Derby. You know, it'll be different in that it's in the Highlands, and you know, one of the things about the Comfy Cow that we've wanted from day one is each location to sort of take on its own feel for that mm-hmm. neighborhood, et cetera. And so you'll see some things. I mean, I don't want to give a whole lot away, but you'll see, you know, a few different things in there that will reflect the neighborhood
okay.
and the funkiness of the neighborhood.
Okay. And I guess ultimately, what I'm curious about is, I mean, Comfy Cow is only what, 3 years old, or
we're now 4 years old.
4 years old, and you know, starting from nothing in a business is ice cream, and who'd have thought you started, you know, one location, and now yeah. tell me how many there are, and how can you take a business like ice cream where there's plenty of competition,
right,
and be successful.
Well, I'll start off by saying when we first started, we were actually, that was the height of the Great Recession. Mm-hmm. I mean, banks looked at us like we had four heads when we walked in and told them we wanted to open an ice cream shop. But we've just been very fortunate. I mean, we work really, really hard at producing the best product we could possibly produce. And before we ever got into this, we said, look, it's got to be the best. I mean, at our ripe old ages, this just wasn't a fly-by-night thing. We cashed in our 401ks. You know, we scraped together every penny. We asked for, we had collateral from friends and relatives, and you know, we were all in, and we decided it's got to be the best ingredients. And I think people appreciate that. I really do. I think they respond to the quality of the ice cream.
Right. It you know, and certainly I've experienced that. But it seems like some of your competitors have quality products too. It seems like quality is really important in ice cream.
Yeah.
Which is seems obvious. Now, your first store was
Westport.
That was the first one.
Yeah.
Okay. And like, how many are there now?
Well, there's three. There are three currently, and there will be a fourth is the Bard Sun Road location.
Okay.
A fifth will be New Albany.
Okay.
That's our first franchise location. That will open probably the weekend of April 19th.
Okay.
And then we just signed a lease on one in Nashville.
Oh, wow.
Which will open next spring, and one at the new complex they're building out in Middletown by the Gene Snyder.
Oh, yeah.
Same people that built the Summit, yeah.
Well, I mean, it really is phenomenal. Now, let's have some fun and talk about ice cream, you know.
Okay.
I mean, are there, do you have a personal favorite?
I do.
Tell me why.
I have a couple. Ginger Two Snaps.
Okay.
If you remember In Living Color, the two snaps, do you remember that?
I missed the show, but I try to be culturally aware.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Some people don't get our names, but I do, so that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ginger Two Snaps and our pistachio ice cream is just the bomb.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And you also do a lot of, I mean, you've expanded beyond just ice cream to different types of products. And the other thing I see everywhere is at events,
right?
You know, and I don't know if it's, I think it's at Slugger Field, right? Or,
well, we used to be at Slugger Field. We actually aren't there anymore, but we do a lot of community events. We really, you know, one of the things Roy and I were very passionate about was giving back to the community, and so we do a lot of donations, a lot of charity events, etc. mm-hmm. around town, and you know, that's helped, and you know, we like giving back.
Okay. Well, and you just talked about Nashville and moving out. Is there how big is big enough? I mean, how big do you see the Comfy Cow enterprise getting to be?
Honestly, we've really made a decision. If we're going to grow, we're really going to go for it. And we think we can be a national brand. And we're, we've started surrounding ourselves with people that we think can take us to that level. We're talking to a gentleman right now that's interested in developing the state of Florida.
Wow.
We're looking at 30 or 35 stores in Florida. And, you know, that's our goal is to be a national brand.
Okay. Now, I wanted to move on to another subject while we're here. Sure. You mentioned your partner, Roy, and Roy's...
Husband.
Husband and business partner.
Business partner, right. Business partner, you take that two ways, right.
And I know at first there was, you know, I don't know if you got any kind of negative feedback from anything that was anti-gay, but, you know, has being gay been any factor in terms of growing your business?
You know, not that we're aware of. We're pretty lucky. We live, you know, I think Louisville's a pretty tolerant town, and, you know, not that we've experienced directly. I'm sure there are some people that, you know, won't come to one of our stores because we're gay or... You know, and I respect that. I really do. I respect everybody's opinions and feelings. But, you know, we just decided we're going to live our lives as openly and honestly as we can. We get up every day. We go to work. I got a 26-year-old daughter.
Okay.
Pay our taxes. And
yeah. Well, I mean, it's obviously in the news in the legislature right now,
yeah,
the whole same-sex marriage issue.
Yeah.
And you say husband. So I guess you got married in another state?
We got married in Montreal, actually.
Okay.
We got married in another country. And we've been married 7 years, and as far as I know, nobody's gotten divorced or split up because we got married.
But would this legislative, if the Judge Haberman's ruling and all that happens, would that affect you financially, right?
Yeah, it would. We could file state income taxes and just, you know, succession things, especially with having a business like this. You know, issues of succession and passing things on when you die. And now this year we can file taxes for the, you know, the state, United States.
Okay. Federal taxes,
I'm sorry. And we can do that. So, and we can do that actually retroactively for 2 years.
Wow. Okay.
So that'll be a nice benefit.
Well, that's good. That's good. All right. Well, Comfy Cow is certainly I mean, it's almost going to, you almost feel like it's a story in the making, is like Papa John's or something, you know, and all starting in some little store
with two guys cashing in everything they had, scraping together.
Now, very quickly, what were you doing before? Because you know, you weren't, this wasn't an out of school thing for you guys to do.
Roy was an ER nurse, and okay. I had a business where I revamped old houses.
Okay,
so I had a construction company.
Wow. Okay.
Just naturally leads into ice cream.
Well, I don't know what would lead into ice cream, but you know, it's
we were big consumers of ice cream. I'll say that.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So because you've got to eat a lot of ice cream, it has your weight changed since you started the business?
I've definitely gained weight.
I have too. And I'm going to blame you for what's going on with me, but
yeah.
You know, it does seem like it's a fun environment and fun business.
And you know, people say to me all the time, don't you get sick of ice cream? And I don't. I mean, I guess maybe some people would or do, but I don't. I love ice cream.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's the passion. I once talked to Schnatter, actually, and he told me he eats the pizza every day.
Maybe that's the key. I don't know.
You got to have the passion for it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that's going to wrap up our time here. I think I'm going to go downstairs and have some ice cream. I've been thinking about it so much. So, but anyway, thanks again, Tim, for appearing on the Rusty Satellite Show.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
All right, I want to give a big thank you to Tim for having me down there and for the bourbon ball ice cream cone that he gave me. Really encourage you to get out to the Comfy Cow and check it out. They've got some really great things going on there and do some good things for the community. Just an all-around good thing. So anyway, that'll do it for this edition of the Rusty Satellite Show. I want to do a little shout-out for Louisville.am, our network here. We've got a bunch of great podcasts. This week you might be interested. There's podcast focusing on U of L. There's one on UK. We have a family fun podcast, and Dan Vonderheide, our leader, has his own startup podcast. It's just an enterprise that I hope can grow. I hope that you as a listener will spread the word, listen to all the podcasts, listen to mine, but. anyway, it's always it's been a lot of fun for me going around town talking about the show and picking out guests. I've already got some folks I'm lining up for next week. It's going to be an exciting spring in Louisville, Kentucky. Looking forward to all the exciting things that are going to happen from starting with the Derby and the you know, there's a world of things going on with the Derby Festival. It starts next month, and it's spring. First day of spring's this week. So time's changed. Everything good is happening. So anyway, I'm going to wrap it up here, the Rusty Satellite Show. I hope you'll tune in again next week on the Louisville.am network, and check out some stuff about the show and see pictures of our guests on LouisvilleKY.com and RustySatelliteShow.com.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city. Time.